He is the new head of the Chicago Board of Trade. It won't work. I'm going to allow him to do that. We reinstated our corporation in Nevada under the Republic. So the game is up. It's really over for them all. That does not mean we're sailing free and clear. It means our responsibilities have to change. We are now at the critical point in our country's lifespan, and we call that accountability. Cosmos can handle the accountability of the government as it exists. The people have to now handle the accountability at the other end. That's all we're saying. No strings attached. We've done the work at the top and are hanging there real firm. We are only requesting that you do the work that you've been doing so beautifully, as I found out. I'm telling you, I've had a wonderful, wonderful experience to see and hear how passionate others are for our country. I feel the same. The court action we are starting, and it's nice to hear all over things are happening. Judges are being booted out and put in camps and this or that. Things we hear. What we're more interested in now, more than ever, is verifying this. Any information any of you have on the name judge that was picked up under the common law, we would like to know his name and where he is. We need this information badly. Now, the CDR seems to be an ideal clearinghouse point for that information. Cosmos cannot. We're in an extremely sensitive position. We have shut off our phones. We've shut off our correspondence address, primarily so that the Bush Company at all do not know what we're about. I have contact with the other directors, and it's on a daily basis, payphone-type situation. It's awkward, it's uncomfortable, but it must be done in that way. Our request to you is, if you hear of all these little rumors, they may be very real, but they must be verified. We cannot go out and put information that three judges wound up here, this or that, unless we know for certain. Along that line, all we ask is get the information to there that identifies a name and or a place. This is a wonderful follow-up opportunity for those of you who are media conscious. I would like to address that media point from the standpoint of Cosmos. We have made the request on card, identifying an individual coming from a republic to a republic. This is singularly important because we've discovered that now that a corporation has been recognized internationally, now that the country is being recognized internationally as a republic, soon the people will be recognized internationally as a republic, and very hopefully, I am optimistic that the American Indian Nation, you don't demand or ask anything of them, and Cosmos doesn't work that way anyway. They have come to us and suggested that they would like to also do the same in order for an Indian nation to be recognized in the United States. They are merely a token type organization to the United States government right now. So hopefully that will occur. It has not occurred as yet and may possibly occur this month. The times are upon us now, the critical ones, and the dates are going to be the 15th, the 19th of December, and the 29th, the 24th, and the 29th of December. The 19th of December is really a Federal Reserve System type date. On the 19th of December, the Federal Reserve System has already announced that they are going to examine all the banks and their assets, and if they fall below the 2% level of liquid assets, they will be closed and restructured. This is the biggest hype and laugh in the world. It is nothing to be alarmed of, but it gave us a clue. The reason they said that is so they will have an excuse to close the bank and rip off the remaining hard assets that lie in the charter bank. All charter banks come under the Treasury, not under the Federal Reserve System. So they were forced to go into the Federal Reserve System. So this question is, what will happen when the bank closed? They identified, they always refer to the company, to the present administration and the government. They decided they would move the date up to the 15th. I don't believe it. We have no evidence to that. We know we will be meeting with them as a corporation on the 19th. Anyway, along that line, people are asking everywhere, what can we do? We're not in the business of giving you specific advice. Now, if you were to ask me, what would I do? I'll tell you this. Hey, the money the Federal Reserve System has was created from nothing. They have nothing now. They have nothing to substantiate it. They're banking on the American taxpayer. Hey, teach the banks a lesson. For the temporary period of time for stabilization, take your money out. If you're going to put it anywhere, use something that's backed directly by Treasury. Notice I said Treasury, not the Treasury. Take a hard look at where the Treasury, not the Treasury, where Treasury notes and bonds are. They must be backed by the coin of the realm, gold or silver, in accordance with the Constitution. This is something to understand. The complaints that people will lose their interest, quit playing the system. What interest? That's your money, your interest. So if you're going to lose your own, why not keep it? You may do as you wish on that, but this is my personal feeling as what will happen. On the 19th, the Federal Reserve System, and this is my own personal feeling, I've not discussed it with the other board members. On the 19th, what I personally feel will occur is Alan Greenspan will come to the public on media and say, how wonderful we are to you. We're going to get an extension, and in March, they'll have until March to clean up their little mess. Well, isn't that nice? They couldn't pay off a dollar today if they tried. But if they did pull this, and if they did pull it on the 50th and close the bank, there are approximately 1,897 banks that would have to be closed in this country. I'll give you an example. Because of that fiasco that I told you about for the $865 million that went through Goldman Sachs, it went to Bank of America, and the money came out of Security Pacific, so Bank of America attempted a merger with Security Pacific to cover it up. Those of you who had Security Pacific cards, one or the other, got a new one. That was their deliberate attempt to hide their theft. It won't work. They've been leaned, they can't merge, and even though they tried it, it's only on paper. That's the whole system. It's only on paper. Let's get back to the reality. What they will do if they do close the bank won't have one iota of difference because we, Cosmos, are holding them up. It is not their decision any longer. The people finally have the clout to make changes in their very governmental structure from the top all the way down. And we're very happy to say that. Some of the other things that are being brought up specifically along this line is, okay, what about the 24th? They were trying, they, meaning the company again, were trying on the 24th to pull the old 1933 trick. We'll do it on Christmas Eve, and then everybody, when we open up 3 days later, everybody won't know what hit them. I wouldn't worry too much about that, because if they don't pull it on the 19th, they certainly aren't going to on the 24th. The date of the 29th, which is in everybody's mind, is the date where the United Nations military forces are going to be completely in order and ready to do whatever the company wants them to do. I'm not too concerned about that either. It is a true fact that for about 4 months, none of that aspect has received any money. They were promised the money on the, guess what, the 24th. I don't think it will happen. They haven't the financial leverage. So these dates of fear doesn't mean we're going to discard them. It does mean we have to be alert to what's going on and find out a little bit more. Nothing has been verified. We do know the Joint Chiefs of Staff met on the 4th and the 5th. They did not meet with Cosmos. They only announced that they were going to meet. We have had personal conversations, the corporation has, with other members of, not as a whole, but other members individually in the military. That is only normal. They want to know how they can use and work with us because of our assets. It is not in order for me to give you any names along that line at this. What will happen in January, specifically January the 7th, will be a full hearing in the Congress, and they will start to bring before the Congress the following people. And I'm very happy to say this. President Bush, President Reagan, President Ford, President Carter, President Nixon, Secretary of State Kissinger, I love that one. Secretary of State Volcker, I guess it was, and Secretary of State Schultz, thank you. And Secretary of State James A. Baker III. All of them are going to be, they're not going to be, they're right now under investigation. The current president will be going up for impeachment, and the others will be indicted for treason. I am not discounting the full board of the Federal Reserve System. Alan Greenspan, Warburg, et al. They were all being charged with treason. It is a treasonous act to disrupt the country and take an oath contrary to the Constitution. Our courts will get back to Title III, Section 2. We are going to test it, we are going to prove it, and it is up to the people of America serving on the jury, which will probably start in January sometime, to speak out loud and clear that they want their country back. I don't have too much more to say along that, except that we do have the farm programs, we do have the education programs, we do have the health programs. These have been blocked out. Other information will come in to us. And when we see the light on this sometime in January, this information will come back to you. One other thing that we must state is about current actions that are going on. These are information sources for you. The liens were processed on the government, and we are already in the House Ways and Means Committee for the indictment and the impeachment. They may or may not verify that, but it is a fact and you'll begin to see it. The Iran-Contra thing will be totally exposed. The Lincoln Savings and Loan will be exposed. The BCCI will be exposed. All of these, we have documented proof, film footage, and everything else. If you knew the paper trail and the banks and all their corruption and the judges and their corruption and the attorneys and their corruption, we must remember the reason for, I believe it was Amendment 13, which flat out said that no attorney can serve in these public offices. 98.8%, our statistics like to show us as half a being. 98.8% of the Congress are attorneys. A few in the new Congress are not, which may bring that statistical figure down. A question has been raised to me, but before I get to the question on commercial loans not being the common law or so forth, I want to address what I had said earlier. Those of you who are in the process of a foreclosure, listen carefully. There are three phases in a foreclosure. The first phase is a default notice. If you are in the default notice, please just send us a piece of paper with that first information on the default notice. Send it here to Darren, he'll give you the address. The second thing is if you're beyond the default and into the auction or into the foreclosure, do the same with a court number if a court case has been activated. Those of you who do this will receive this package shortly around January the 15th. Up now, and I'm going to answer three basic questions here if I understand them.
I had said that they were common law liens on the banks.
No, I mentioned that. No common law liens. We were using the system because the monies and everything else is in the illegal system.
And it's not public record, and that's why we can't verify.
Oh, yeah. The public record under the Republic, they won't admit to it because they aren't functioning under the Republic. They are functioning under the United Nations Charter. You might be lucky. You know, if you personally know someone big in banking and someone in the Congress that will tell you the truth, fine, go for it. But we have done these things. And the hearings will begin January the 7th on all those individuals and more so. Yeah, it's filed in Illinois.
Well, maybe you could do the same thing in Illinois that you did in Nevada because we have statute and they tell us that there's no corporation by the name of Cosmos.
We're not registered as a corporation like in Nevada, you know, filing and paying taxes and stuff. It's a domicile residence. I will bring that up with the board. Thank you very much. Sure. It is. And we have the postal box there and the post office is giving out very strange information. We have never taken a telephone number out in in the president's name. So they were giving a phone number out and an address, which is all phony baloney. That can't be, so we're not... We're trying to deal with that. That's one of the misinformation things. But we're on top of it, and I'll pass your information up. We'll get on that.
Andy, for a lot of people that are concerned about our capability to hold our position, could you cover a little bit our position with the Navy and maybe the rest of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, et cetera?
I mentioned that we did not have a meeting with the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and I also mentioned that we, unfortunately, I can't reveal any of the names, but we are in direct contact with much of the higher military. It is our personal belief that our government today is not being run by the president, by an interim government which consists of the military. And I can't name names, but we are in direct contact with them at this time.
I hope everybody understands why we couldn't keep this thing open to everybody. It would be absolutely impossible. My timer is clicking on here. I don't know how close I am, but I think we have 18 minutes left. John Quaid, are you on?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Man, if you'd have checked in time, you might have had the time we had allocated for you. I'm looking at about 17 minutes, and I want to say just a very short blurb. Get your pencils and papers out, guys. I have information that there still exists a common law courts in the United States. They are courts of common pleas. They are in Delaware, Virginia, Maryland, Pennsylvania, New York, Massachusetts, and Connecticut. There are also courts of chancery in the same state. They are predecessors of the original common law court. And just maybe we'll get this thing back and we'll have it in all 50 republics. The gentleman I was introducing a little bit earlier, I'm going to put him on now. I feel that he is another super American, an absolute patriot, and he's hung his backside out to dry big time to get something accomplished. And the CDR has dedicated themselves to sponsor the program that Mr. Quaid is going to explain at this time. Go ahead, John.
Can you hear me all right there?
Yep.
Well, I want to say hello to everybody. First of all, my name is John Quaid, and a.k.a. John W. Saunders III. John Quaid is my phony name that I used to use in film and television. At any rate, we've spent the last 6 years designing and developing a communication system, actually a computer network, that would provide all the necessary information needed for people to study, to show themselves approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed of his calling. Basically, what we've created is a national computer network consisting of high-performance computers decentralized by area code and linked by standard telephone lines. There's a strong possibility that next year there's going to be a glut of satellite channels open, and we may very likely become satellite linked as well as linked by landlines, telephone lines. At any rate, we put a pilot system online about 5 years ago, and the results were very encouraging. It was just a simple little system, only handled two telephone lines, but the response nationally, without any advertisement or exposure, the response nationally was considerably more than we had expected. We pulled that system offline and put a new system design into effect, which we have been developing ever since in terms of both hardware and software. Many of you who are not really what we call computer literate may not understand some of the things that I'm going to tell you right now, but I don't quite know how to put them any other way. I've been thinking in this vein for so long. Basically, it consists of a whole series or groups of services which are designed to meet as many needs in a very broad marketplace as possible. We can look at the system as consisting of basically an entertainment package and a Christian services package. The entertainment package is, forgive the expression, designed for the game freaks. I don't think anyone underestimates the incredible market demand for computer games and entertainment features. For example, one of the things that's growing very fast in America today are these multi-line chat services. That's where a bunch of people all call the same computer system, and then with their keyboards on their computers at home or in their office, they carry on conversations with two, 3, 5, 10, 20, 50, or 100 other people simultaneously. This is called a chat service. So in our entertainment package, we will have not only online full-color games, interactive, in which the users can participate in competition with many, many other users, but we also have a whole group of multi-line chat services. Furthermore, there is an email package that comes as standard part of the system, which allows one to send electronic mail nationally, and when the system is in place and all 130 area code affiliates are online, you'll be able to send electronic mail from Los Angeles to New York for pennies. In terms of the Christian Studies group, there are a number of classes of services within the Christian Studies group. For example, Bible Online will have the full text of the Geneva King James, the Noah Webster's 1835 American Idiom Bible, and the Revised Version of 1881. All these texts will be available online and searchable by word, by verse, by book, by author, by name, by topic, and multiple subtopics. In addition to that, every word in these four texts will be keyed also to Strong's Concordance, Young's Analytical Concordance, a parsing guide, Thayer's Lexicon, among others, at least two dictionaries, and one encyclopedia. Thus, every word of the Bible, from Genesis to the end of Revelation, will be keyed on all these primary source documents. And what you can do is you can call into our system with your computer, connect up, do a Bible search, and a study in purely the text and the textual aids, and then save all that information in a file that you can either store temporarily on the host system that you call, where all these services are based in the affiliate, or you can download that study to your own computer system. Then you can move into another area called Library Online, which consists of 1,024 separate topic or subject directories, and do a secondary study based on what you arrived at in your study in Bible Online. And you can research, again, by author, by date or bracketed dates, by topic, by multiple subtopics. You can research these different works that are available online, works by the Puritans, by Calvin, Knox, Owen, Spurgeon, many of the great theologians and thinkers of the past. The subject categories that exist in this area range from anthropology to zoology eventually. Initially, the system will only have about 100 megabytes of files available for searching, and the vast majority of those will concern themselves with law. Right now, we have about 350 key court cases already on computers. We have a number of text files which explain the law, which deal, for example, with citizenship. Many of the files that you see circling on several of the Patriot PBSs around the country are all files that I originally scanned or keyed by hand into the computer a year or two ago. For example, one of the things that will be available on the line is complete text of Bouvier's 1856 Law Dictionary. Now, all these tools that are available to you would, on a DOS-based machine, on a standard IBM compatible, be virtually impossible to implement in a way that you could really use them. As a result of that, we've created our own graphic user interface. Now, those of you that have used Windows, Microsoft Windows, know what a graphic user interface is. But in our situation, it's as if you had 10 or 12 different copies of Windows running on your machine, because you'll be able to hold many windows open on your monitor screen simultaneously with different documents or different applications running in every window. You could thus, for example, go into the law library and you could do research in court cases and save blocks of text for some purpose. Perhaps you're preparing a brief or you're doing an essay or you're working on a book that you want to publish. You can go in and search cases from the Supreme Court or from your local state court, save that information in a file. You could have 10, 12 cases going simultaneously. You could have a separate window where you're pulling blocks of text out of one case and putting it in your work window. You could also have copies of statutes in other windows. And while you're working away there, lo and behold, up pops what we call a Zephyrgram. And that's a little mailbox that pops up on your screen. It says, electronic mail has just come in for you. What I'm trying to tell you here is give you a picture of the fact that you could have many operations being conducted on your monitor in your home or office on your computer system, and these operations are all conducted simultaneously in a window environment. No such system exists anywhere in the United States today at the mass level. Up until just a few years ago, it was virtually impossible to achieve these kinds of services and this kind of power and flexibility on anything but mainframe and mini computers. But with the advances in software and hardware that have come about in the last 4 years, we've been able to implement this with a lot of nights of late night programming and a lot of accessing of various software services, and we put together this complete package of services. I mentioned already the Bible online, the library online. Networks online is something that I think is going to be a very popular service in our system. For example, this telephone conference that we've had today, when our system is in place nationally, this entire conference could be carried along by keyboards nationally, and while the conference is being carried on in one window on your monitor, you could be submitting questions to your area code affiliate system that you're logged into, and that system could forward them to wherever the conference central is, and those questions could be raised while the conference is going on, and everyone would then have the advantage of seeing what those questions are, because then we can turn around and the conference central can download a copy of all the questions that came in back to the affiliate computers and the area codes, and then every user and every subscriber to the system nationally would have a list of those questions. Conference Central could then compose answers to each of those questions and download those along with the questions, and there would be no need to use the United States mails or Federal Express or any other means of communication, because everything could happen live in real time. The number of lines that our computer system can handle is virtually unlimited. And that's particularly specifically because of the kind of hardware and software package that we're utilizing. It is not a DOS machine. It is a type of Unix operating system. For those of you that are computer literate, you recognize that a Unix operating system is both multi-user and multitasking. And for example, our system, when they come out of the box, during the initial installation in an affiliate, for example, in Dare's affiliate would be the 602 area code, when his system arrives at the door and he takes it out of the box, it'll be equipped to handle 16 telephone lines simultaneously. That system can, without changing the basic computer system, simply by adding modules, that system can handle up to 128 simultaneous telephone calls. The beauty of the system is that the cash flow of the individual affiliates is such that when he has 128 lines going and he's keeping those full, his cash flow is sufficient to do the next major upgrade, which includes adding another computer, and it creates virtually no serious dent in his cash flow. We designed the system to be linearly upgradable from the initial system that goes in all the way up to what amounts to a mini-computer system handling up to and including 256 simultaneous telephone calls. One of the special functions in our networks, which I forgot to tell you about, is our community service network. This network can be accessed either by computer or by voice phone. Essentially, it's a list of services that provide legal referral, crisis pregnancy referral, food, medicine, clothing, transportation, employment assistance, all kinds of services. And the way it works is really kind of simple. Mrs. Smith, down on the corner, a few blocks from where you live, is an 83-year-old woman, and she needs to get to the doctor every Friday afternoon at 3 o'clock, but she can't drive, and so she needs help. Somebody in the neighborhood, or a relative or a friend who may know about this and know also about the DCS affiliate in the area code, can place a call to that system and say, this lady needs some help. Well, we send out either a volunteer or an employee to investigate and say, Mrs. Smith, do you in fact need a ride to the doctor at 3 o'clock on Fridays? And she says, yes, sir, I certainly do, and I'd appreciate it if you could help me with this. We then place notice of that on the system, and every subscriber who calls the system after the notice is placed has the opportunity to respond to that. Thus, somebody that lives maybe 3 or 4 blocks away says, well, wait a minute, I work nights. I'm off on Friday. I can take Mrs. Smith back and forth to the doctor. I've seen her out there in her yard cutting her bushes, and I'd like to help. Again, they call the system, and we send out the same need request investigator who first made contact with Mrs. Smith, and they verify that she, in fact, needs a ride, and they make the connection between Mrs. Smith and the ride, and we've met a community need without any assistance from Big Brother. But that list of services there, right now it's about 16 different services. As I mentioned, the food and medicine and clothing, transportation and job assistance, etc. There's a package of 16 separate services, and you don't need a computer to access them. And by the way, that list of services is free. There's no charge whatsoever for that service. Now, a lot of people right now are wondering what this great and wonderful device and system is going to cost them. It isn't $300 an hour, as Lexis and Westlaw charge. It's actually $100 a year. That is for all services. The total subscription is $100 a year. And that provides you with 2 hours a day of access. There is virtually no limit to how much time that you can spend on the system. There is no limit to the amount of files that you can download that are not proprietary. We're going to have a lot of shareware or freeware software available, word processors, spreadsheets, utilities, games, and things of that nature that you can download off the system for nothing. There is no limit to the amount that you can download, only the size of your hard drive, your storage devices, or how many floppy disks you can buy limits you as to how much you can have. The cost of an affiliate system originally was about $90,000 4 years ago. Now we've gotten the cost of a complete affiliate computer system down to less than $20,000. However, recognizing the fact that most of the patriots have paid just something less than the ultimate price, and they're virtually broke, and by virtue of being jailed several times and standing for the faith, they've suffered a great deal in terms of economics. So we've essentially created a package in which we buy the systems for the affiliate, and then the affiliate buys those back from us, interest-free, at a figure of $500 a month. And we show the system through a marketing and sales program that we've developed. We teach the affiliate how to generate and create his cash flow. For example, in our area here, we've got about 400,000 people in our within a 20-mile radius of where our system is located. We expect, based on our experience with other such systems, we fully expect to recruit simply by placing notices on other bulletin boards and databases in our area code. We fully expect to recruit 400 subscribers at $100 a year in the first 90 days of a system's existence. Now, with a $40,000 gross income in the first quarter of a system's operation, it doesn't take, it's not a severe strain on their budget to pay a $500 rental or lease fee. It's interest-free, there are no extra charges, and the system hardware and software is not marked up at retail levels. It's only marked up enough to cover our costs, because our goal is not to own the system nationally. Our goal is to decentralize it so that the systems are owned by individual entities, persons, common law advocate groups, patriot groups, etc., across the country. We're not interested in owning 130 computer systems across the country. Doesn't serve our interest or anyone else's. Guys, if you took us out and we owned all 130 systems, you'd take the system offline. But if all 130 systems are owned by separate individuals, it's going to be a little bit tougher to do. Beginning in January 4th of the next year, that's about 2.5-3 weeks away, we're going to begin a series of presentations in California at various groups. The presentations themselves are being sponsored by essentially movers and shakers, guys that have proven themselves in combat, guys that have proven themselves in terms of their ability to marshal resources and people and get them together. And we're going to start making presentations of the system package, and we're going to try to recruit 260 people who will buy a 5-year subscription, normally costing $500, for $250. With 260 people, purchasing a $250 discount subscription, we will have the $65,000 we need to begin putting systems online. The first three in California, the fourth system will go online in Arizona. We have commitments already for 21 area codes. And when I say commitments, that means that we have already identified and established a working relationship with individuals who are leaders of constituencies. Sometimes they're heads of church groups, sometimes they're heads of common law groups, sometimes they are Christians who have specifically set out to establish some form of ministry with computers. And what we've told these people is that you cannot operate out of a 501c3 because of its vulnerability to government control and attack. You must have an arm's-length entity, profit-based, separate from the 501c3. Those of you who've investigated the 501c3 know how vulnerable it is to shut down if the government so chooses to do so. It's a little more difficult if you have a private business going at the same time. The reason why we decentralized everything by area code, the reason why we sell off the systems to our area code affiliates, is because we wanted to A, decentralize the service, and B, we wanted to fund those people who need the funding. Our cash flow with a simple maintenance fee, because all DCS charges for its services, maintenance fees, its file maintenance services, and everything else, is $1 per month per subscriber. The affiliate keeps all the rest of the money. That amounts to roughly $7.50 a year per subscriber. The affiliate keeps $92.50 out of every $100 subscriber. We've done many, many cash flow estimates, many, many projections, incorporated many research surveys, including some by Bonner Research and others, and we've determined that your potential market base in an area code is about 18,400 subscribers. All we're looking for in the first year is a 2.5 to 3% market capture. We believe that this number is a very conservative figure, and that your actual capture in the area code will be closer to 6%. That's really about all I have to tell you right now. We believe that the system, once in place, will provide the means whereby the Patriot community and the Christian community can at last communicate and provide a unified means of networking. When we put the networks online, for example, in the law section, we're going to have not only hundreds and hundreds of Supreme Court and local court cases available for search and retrieve, we can also create a network that does nothing but discuss court cases and their meaning. We can create a network for just writ writers. We can create a network just for consultants. And all these networks can exist in a variety of modes that have varying levels of security and varying levels of exposure. For example, one type of network is an open network, and that's basically a free-for-all because everybody can put information in there and take information out. There is a limited network in which everyone can monitor what's going on in the network and read the files and the information there, but only a limited number of people can actually add or take out the files on the network. And then there is a closed network, which is limited to only a predefined group of people who can put files on the system and take them off. And each network has a network coordinator who is responsible to see that the rules of the network are obeyed. We believe that by providing those kinds of services, all these people across the country right now who are dying on the vine for information, for a writ, for an affidavit, for an example of some kind of brief that they can file in their own area. All these people across the country are going to have access to all this stuff. Not at $300 an hour, as I said, Lexis and Westlaw charges, and believe me, I've been a subscriber to Westlaw for 3 months, and I know what their charges are. It can break even the best of people. But we're not charging that. It's all these services for $100 a year. I have worked on the system for 5-6 years, and we've concluded that at $100 a year per subscriber, that all 130 area code affiliates will be financially successful and become a power and force to reckon with in their area codes. And by the grace of God, and by the leadership of His Spirit, we will pull the project off, and it will begin in January. Anyone? Now, I want to say something. There's a lot of people outside California that would like to subscribe to this system and take part in this five-year program. If you wish to subscribe to the system from outside California, all right, and participate in this five-year discount subscription drive, you can send us a check for $250, and you will receive a five-year free subscription that begins from the date an area code affiliate is established in your area code so that you have local call access. You may access the system for any amount of time for as long as it takes in California, but then you've got long-distance charges to deal with. But there will be no charge for your accessing the system in California. And if anyone, when we get down the road a ways here and we start traveling across the country and meeting people and setting up presentations to help area code affiliates sponsor the purchase of a system in their area code, when we start making those presentations, we will make the same offer again. And we will assist and train all area code affiliates that we identify and recruit in the marketing and sales tools package that we have, and we'll help them raise the money in their area codes. And within, by God's grace, within 18 months, we'll have 130 systems across the country. Now, of course, some area codes, I should add as a footnote, some area codes will have 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 computer systems or affiliates in an area code simply because of the enormous population density in areas like Chicago, Los Angeles, New York, Miami, and San Francisco, and like Seattle, places of that nature. In those area codes, we'll more than likely have 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 systems and not just one. The object is to spread the systems across the country in such density that everyone can access the system with a local call. And if you have any questions that you want to ask, if you want to participate in the five-year subscription program, all you have to do is send a check or cash to in the amount of $250 to me, John Saunders, Post Office Box 788, Rosamond, Rosamond, California. And if you wish, you can use the zip code. It's 93560. And anyone who has an interest in becoming an affiliate of DCS and perhaps sponsoring a system in their area code can coordinate everything that they wish to do in their area code through DARE. I only want to add just one thing, and this is more or less my disclaimer. I am not affiliated with any one single group. We provide the service and the tools for the whole movement to participate in, because we can customize.
He is the new head of the Chicago Board of Trade. It won't work. But allowed to do that, we've reinstated our corporation in Nevada under the Republic. So the game is up. It's really over for them all. That does not mean we're sailing free and clear. It means our responsibilities have to change. We are now at the critical point in our country's lifespan, and we call that accountability. Cosmos can handle the accountability of the government as it exists. The people have to now handle the accountability at the other end. That's all we're saying. No strings attached. We've done the work at the top and are hanging there real firm. We are only requesting that you do the work that you've been doing so beautifully, as I found out. I'm telling you, I've had a wonderful, wonderful experience to see and hear how passionate others are for our country. I feel the same. The court action we are starting, and it's nice to hear all over things are happening. Judges are being booted out and put in camps and things we hear. What we're more interested in now, more than ever, is verifying this. Any information any of you have on the name of one judge that was picked up under the common law, we would like to know his name and where he is. We need this information badly. Now, the CDR seems to be an ideal clearinghouse point for that information. Cosmos cannot. We're in an extremely sensitive position. We have shut off our phone. We've shut off our correspondence address, primarily so that the Bush company at all do not know what we're about. I have contact with the other directors, and it's on a daily basis, payphone type situation. It's awkward, it's uncomfortable, but it must be done in that way. Our request to you is, if you hear of all these little rumors, they may be very real, but they must be verified. We cannot go out and put information that three judges wound up here at this or that unless we know for certain. Along that line, all we ask is get the information to share that identifies a name and or a place. This is a wonderful follow-up opportunity for those of you who are media conscious. I would like to address that media point from the standpoint of Cosmo. We have made the request on card identifying an individual coming from a republic to a republic. This is singularly important because we've discovered that now that a corporation has been recognized internationally, now that the country is being recognized internationally as a republic, soon the people will be recognized internationally as a republic, and very hopefully, I am optimistic that the American Indian Nation, you don't demand or ask anything of them, and Cosmos doesn't work that way anyway. They have come to us and suggested that they would like to also do the same in order for an Indian nation to be recognized in the United States. They are merely a token type organization to the United States government right now. So hopefully that will occur. It has not occurred as yet and may possibly occur this month. The times are upon us now, the critical ones, and the dates are going to be the 15th, the 19th of December, and the 29th, the 24th, and the 29th of December. The 19th of December is really a Federal Reserve System type date. On the 19th of December, the Federal Reserve System has already announced that they are going to examine all the banks and their assets, and if they fall below the 2% level of liquid assets, they will be closed and restructured. This is the biggest hype and laugh in the world. It is nothing to be alarmed of, but it gave us a clue. The reason they said that is so they will have an excuse to close the bank and rip off the remaining hard assets that lie in the charter bank. All charter banks come under the Treasury, not under the Federal Reserve System. So they were forced to go into the Federal Reserve System. So this question is, what will happen when the bank closed? They identify, they always refer to the company, to the present administration and the government. They decided they would move the date up to the 15th. I don't believe it. We have no evidence to that effect. We know we will be meeting with them as a corporation on the 19th. Anyway, along that line, people are asking everywhere, what can we do? We're not in the business of giving you specific advice. Now, if you were to ask me, what would I do? I'll tell you this. Hey, the money the Federal Reserve System has was created from nothing. They have nothing now. They have nothing to substantiate it. They're banking on the American taxpayer. Hey, teach the banks a lesson. For the temporary period of time for stabilization, take your money out. If you're going to put it anywhere, use something that's backed directly by Treasury. Notice I said Treasury, not the Treasury. Take a hard look at where the Treasury, not the Treasury, where Treasury notes and bonds are. They must be backed by the coin of the realm, gold or silver, in accordance with the Constitution. This is something to understand. The complaint that people will lose their interest, quit playing the system. What interest? That's your money, your interest. So if you're going to lose your own, why not keep it? You may do as you wish on that, but this is my personal feeling as what will happen. On the 19th, the Federal Reserve System, and this is my own personal feeling, I've not discussed it with the other board members. On the 19th, what I personally feel will occur is Alan Greenspan will come to the public on media and say, how wonderful we are to you. We're going to get an extension, and in March, they'll have until March to clean up their little mess. Well, isn't that nice? They couldn't pay off a dollar today if they tried. But if they did fold it, and if they did pull it on the 50th and close the bank, there are approximately 1,897 banks that would have to be closed in this country. I'll give you an example. Because of that fiasco that I told you about for the $865 million that went through Goldman Sachs, it went to Bank of America, and the money came out of Security Pacific, so Bank of America attempted a merger with Security Pacific to cover it up. Those of you who had Security Pacific cards, one or the other, got new ones. That was their deliberate attempt to hide their theft. It won't work. They've been leaned, they can't merge, and even though they tried it, it's only on paper. That's the whole system. It's only on paper. Let's get back to the reality. What they will do if they do close the bank won't have one iota of difference because we, Cosmos, are holding them up. It is not their decision any longer. The people finally have the clout to make changes in their very governmental structure from the top all the way down. And we're very happy to say that. Some of the other things that are being brought up specifically along this line is, okay, what about the 24th? They were trying, they, meaning the company again, were trying on the 24th to pull the old 1933 trick. We'll do it on Christmas Eve, and then everybody, when we open up 3 days later, everybody won't know what hit them. I wouldn't worry too much about that, because if they don't pull it on the 19th, they certainly aren't going to on the 24th. The date of the 29th, which is in everybody's mind, is the date where the United Nations military forces are going to be completely in order and ready to do whatever the company wants them to do. I'm not too concerned about that either. It is a true fact that for about 4 months, none of that aspect has received any money. They were promised the money on the, guess what, the 24th. I don't think it will happen. They haven't the financial leverage. So these dates of fear doesn't mean we're going to discard them. It does mean we have to be alert to what's going on and find out a little bit more. Nothing has been verified. We do know the Joint Chiefs of Staff met on the 4th and the 5th. They did not meet with Cosmos. They only announced that they were going to meet. We had personal conversations, the corporation has, with other members of, not as a whole, but other members individually in the military. That is only normal. They want to know how they can use and work with us because of our assets. It is not in order for me to give you any names along that line at this. What will happen in January, specifically January the 7th, will be a full hearing in the Congress, and they will start to bring before the Congress the following people. And I'm very happy to say this. President Bush, President Reagan, President Ford, President Carter, President Nixon, Secretary of State Kissinger, I love that one. Secretary of State Volcker, I guess it was, and Secretary of State Schultz, thank you. And Secretary of State James A. Baker III. All of them are going to be, they're not going to be there right now, under investigation. The current president will be going up for impeachment, and the others will be indicted for treason. I am not discounting the full board of the Federal Reserve System. Alan Greenspan, Warburg, et al. They were all being charged with treason. It is a treasonous act to disrupt the country and take an oath contrary to the Constitution. Our courts will get back to Title III, Section 2. We are going to test it. We are going to prove it. And it is up to the people of America serving on the jury, which will probably start in January sometime, to speak out loud and clear that they want their country back. I don't have too much more to say along that, except that we do have the farm programs, we do have the education programs, we do have the health programs. These have been blocked out. Other information will come into us, and when we see the light on this sometime in January, this information will come back to you. One other thing that we must state is about current actions that are going on. These are information sources for you. The liens were processed on the government, and we are already in the House Ways and Means Committee for the indictment and the impeachment. They may or may not verify that, but it is a fact and you'll begin to see it. The Iran-Contra thing is will be totally exposed. The Lincoln Savings and Loan will be exposed. The BCCI will be exposed. All of these, we have documented proof, film footage, and everything else. If you knew the paper trail and the banks and all their corruption and the judges and their corruption and the attorneys and their corruption, we must remember the reason for, I believe it was Amendment 13, which flat out said that no attorney can serve in these public offices. 98.8%, our statistics like to show us, is half a being. 98.8% of the Congress are attorneys. A few in the new Congress are not, which may bring that statistical figure down. A question has been raised to me, but before I get to the question on commercial loans not being the common law or so forth, I want to address what I had said earlier. Those of you who are in the process of a foreclosure, listen carefully. There are three phases in a foreclosure. The first phase is a default notice. If you are in the default notice, please just send us a piece of paper with that first information on the default notice. Send it here to Darren, and he'll give you the address. The second thing is if you're beyond the default and into the auction or into the foreclosure, do the same with a court number if a court case has been activated. Those of you who do this will receive this package shortly around January the 15th. Up now, and I'm going to answer three basic questions here if I understand them.
I had said that they were common law liens on the bank.
No, I mentioned that. No common law liens. We were using the system because the monies and everything else is in the illegal system.
And it's not public record, and that's why we can't verify.
Oh, yeah. The public record under the Republic, they won't admit to it because they aren't functioning under the Republic. They are functioning under the United Nations Charter. You might be lucky. You know, if you personally know someone big in banking and someone in the Congress that will tell you the truth, fine, go for it. But we have done these things. And the hearings will begin the January the 7th on all those individuals and more so. Yeah, it's filed in Illinois.
Well, maybe you could do the same thing in Illinois that you did in Nevada because we have Section 8 fellows. There's no corporation by the name of Cosmos.
We're not registered as a corporate in, like in Nevada, you know, filing and paying taxes and stuff. It's a domicile residence. I will bring that up with the board. Thank you very much. Sure. It is. And we have the postal box there, and the post office is giving out very strange information. We have never taken a telephone number out in the president's name. So they were giving a phone number out and an address, which is all phony baloney. That can't be, so we're trying to deal with that. That's one of the misinformation things. But we're on top of it, and I'll pass your information up. We'll get on that.
Andy, for a lot of people that are concerned about our capability to hold our position, could you cover a little bit our position with the Navy and maybe the rest of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, et cetera?
I mentioned that we did not have a meeting with the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and I also mentioned that unfortunately, I can't reveal any of the names, but we are in direct contact with much of the higher military. It is our personal belief that our government today is not being run by the President, by an interim government which consists of the military. And I can't name names, but we are in direct contact with them at this time.
I hope everybody understands why we couldn't keep this thing open to everybody. It would be absolutely impossible. My timer is clicking on here. I don't know how close I am, but I think we have 18 minutes left. John Quaid, are you on?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Man, if you'd have checked in time, you might have had the time we had allocated for you. I'm looking at about 17 minutes. And I want to say just a very short blurb. Get your pencils and papers out, guys. I have information that there still exists common law courts in the United States. They are courts of common pleas. They are in Delaware, Virginia, Maryland, Pennsylvania, New York, Massachusetts, and Connecticut. There are also courts of chancery in the same state. They are predecessors of the original common law court, and just maybe we'll get this thing back and we'll have it in all 50 republics. The gentleman I was introducing a little bit earlier, I'm going to put him on now. I feel that he is another super American, an absolute patriot, and he's hung his backside out to dry big time to get something accomplished. And the CDR has dedicated themselves to sponsor the program that Mr. Quaid is going to explain at this time. Go ahead, John.
Can you hear me all right, Derek?
Yep.
Well, I want to say hello to everybody. First of all, my name is John Quaid, and a.k.a. John W. Saunders III. John Quaid's my phony name that I used to use in film and television. At any rate, we've spent the last 6 years designing and developing a communication system, actually a computer network, that would provide all the necessary information needed for people to study, to show themselves approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed of his calling. Basically, what we've created is a national computer network consisting of high-performance computers decentralized by area code and linked by standard telephone lines. There's a strong possibility that next year there's going to be a glut of satellite channels open, and we may very likely become satellite-linked as well as linked by landlines, telephone lines. At any rate, we put a pilot system online about 5 years ago, and the results were very encouraging. It was just a simple little system, only handled two telephone lines, but the response nationally, without any advertisement or exposure, the response nationally was considerably more than we had expected. We pulled that system offline and put a new system design into effect, which we have been developing ever since in terms of both hardware and software. Many of you who are not really what we call computer literate may not understand some of the things that I'm going to tell you right now, but I don't quite know how to put them any other way. I've been thinking in this vein for so long. Basically, it consists of a whole series or groups of services which are designed to meet as many needs in a very broad marketplace as possible. We can look at the system as consisting of basically an entertainment package and a Christian services package. The entertainment package is, forgive the expression, designed for the game freaks. I don't think anyone underestimates the incredible market demand for computer games and entertainment features. For example, one of the things that's growing very fast in America today are these multi-line chat services. That's where a bunch of people all call the same computer system, and then with their keyboards on their computers at home or in their office, they carry on conversations with 2, 3, 5, 10, 20, 50, or 100 other people simultaneously. That's called a chat service. So in our entertainment package, we will have not only online full-color games, interactive, in which the users can participate in competition with many, many other users, so we also have a whole group of multi-line chat services. Furthermore, there is an email package that comes as a standard part of the system, which allows one to send electronic mail nationally, and when the system is in place and all 130 area code affiliates are online, you'll be able to send electronic mail from Los Angeles to New York for pennies. In terms of the Christian Studies group, there are a number of classes of services within the Christian Studies group. For example, Bible Online will have the full text of the Geneva King James, the Noah Webster's 1835 American Idiom Bible, and the Revised Version of 1881. All these texts will be available online and searchable by word, by verse, by book, by author, by name, by topic, and multiple subtopics. In addition to that, every word in these four texts will be keyed also to Strong's Concordance, Young's Analytical Concordance, a parsing guide, Thayer's Lexicon, among others, at least two dictionaries, and one encyclopedia. Thus, every word of the Bible from Genesis to the end of Revelation will be keyed on all these primary source documents. And what you can do is you can call into our system with your computer, connect up, do a Bible search and a study in purely the text and the textual aids, and then save all that information in a file
that you can either store temporarily on the host system that you call, where all these services are based in the affiliate, or you can download that to your own computer system. Then you can move into another area called Library Online, which consists of 1,024 separate topic or subject directories, and do a secondary study based on what you arrived at in your study in Bible Online. And you can research, again, by author, by date or bracketed dates, by topic, by multiple subtopics. You can research these different works that are available online, works by the Puritans, by Calvin, Knox, Owen, Spurgeon, many of the great theologians and thinkers of the past. The subject categories that exist in this area range from anthropology to zoology eventually. Initially, the system will only have about 100 megabytes of files available for searching, and the vast majority of those will concern themselves with law. Right now, we have about 350 key court cases already on computers. We have a number of text files which explain the law, which deal, for example, with citizenship. Many of the files that you see circling on several of the Patriot PBSs around the country are all files that I originally scanned or keyed by hand into the computer a year or two ago. For example, one of the things that will be available on the line is complete text of Bouvier's 1856 Law Dictionary. Now, all these tools that are available to you would, on a DOS-based machine, on a standard IBM compatible, be virtually impossible to implement in a way that you could really use them. As a result of that, we've created our own graphic user interface. Now, those of you that have used Windows, Microsoft Windows, know what a graphic user interface is. But in our situation, it's as if you had 10 or 12 different copies of Windows running on your machine, because you'll be able to hold many windows open on your monitor screen simultaneously with different documents or different applications running in every window. You could thus, for example, go into the law library and you could do research in court cases and save blocks of text for some purpose. Perhaps you're preparing a brief, or you're doing an essay, or you're working on a book that you want to publish. You can go in and search cases from the Supreme Court or from your local state court. Save that information in a file. You could have 10, 12 cases going simultaneously. You could have a separate window where you're pulling blocks of text out of one case and putting it in your work window. You could also have copies of statutes in other windows. And while you're working away there, lo and behold, up pops what we call a Zephyrgram, and that's a little mailbox that pops up on your screen that says electronic mail has just come in for you. What I'm trying to tell you here is give you a picture of the fact that you could have many operations being conducted on your monitor in your home or office on your computer system, and these operations are all conducted simultaneously in a window environment. No such system exists anywhere in the United States today at the mass level. Up until just a few years ago, it was virtually impossible to achieve these kinds of services and this kind of power and flexibility on anything but mainframe and mini computers. But with the advances in software and hardware that have come about in the last 4 years, we've been able to implement this with a lot of nights of late night programming and a lot of accessing of various software services, and we've put together this complete package of services. I mentioned already the Bible Online, the Library Online. Networks Online is something that I think is going to be a very popular service in our system. For example, this telephone conference that we've had today, when our system is in place nationally, this entire conference could be carried along by keyboards nationally, and while the conference is being carried on in one window on your monitor, you could be submitting questions to your area code affiliate system that you're logged into, and that system could forward them to wherever the conference central is. And those questions could be raised while the conference is going on, and everyone would then have the advantage of seeing what those questions are, because then we can turn around and the conference central can download a copy of all the questions that came in back to the affiliate computers in the area codes, and then every user and every subscriber to the system nationally would would have a list of those questions. Conference Central could then compose answers to each of those questions and download those along with the questions, and there would be no need to use the United States mails or Federal Express or any other means of communication, because everything could happen live in real time. The number of lines that can typical system of our that our computer system can handle is virtually unlimited. And that's particularly, specifically because of the kind of hardware and software package that we're utilizing. It is not a DOS machine. It is a type of Unix operating system. For those of you that are computer literate, you recognize that a Unix operating system is both multi-user and multitasking. And for example, our system, when they come out of the box during the initial installation in an affiliate, for example, in Dare's affiliate would be the 602 area code, when his system arrives at the door and he takes it out of the box, it'll be equipped to handle 16 telephone lines simultaneously. That system can, without changing the basic computer system, simply by adding modules, that system can handle up to 128 simultaneous telephone calls. The beauty of the system is that the cash flow of the individual affiliates is such that when he has 128 lines going, and he's keeping those full, his cash flow is sufficient to do the next major upgrade, which includes adding another computer, and it creates virtually no serious dent in his cash flow. We designed the system to be linearly upgradable from the initial system that goes in all the way up to what amounts to a mini-computer system handling up to and including 256 simultaneous telephone calls. One of the special functions in our networks, which I forgot to tell you about, is our community service network. This network can be accessed either by computer or by voice phone. Essentially, it's a list of services that provide legal referral, crisis pregnancy referral, food, medicine, clothing, transportation, employment assistance, all kinds of services. And the way it works is pretty kind of simple. Mrs. Smith, down on the corner, a few blocks from where you live, is an 83-year-old woman, and she needs to get to the doctor every Friday afternoon at 3 o'clock, but she can't drive, and so she needs help. Somebody in the neighborhood, or a relative, or a friend who may know about this and know also about the DCS affiliate in the area code can place a call to that system and say, this lady needs some help. Well, we send out either a volunteer or an employee to investigate and say, Mrs. Smith, do you in fact need a ride to the doctor at 3 o'clock on Fridays? And she says, yes, sir, I certainly do, and I'd appreciate it if you could help me with this. We then place notice of that on the system, and every subscriber who calls the system after the notice is placed has the opportunity to respond to that. Thus, somebody that lives maybe 3 or 4 blocks away says, well, wait a minute, I work nights. I'm off on Friday. I can take Mrs. Smith back and forth to the doctor. I've seen her out there in her yard cutting her bushes, and I'd like to help. Again, they call the system, and we send out the same need request investigator who first made contact with Mrs. Smith, and they verify that she in fact needs a ride, and they make the connection between Mrs. Smith and the ride, and we've met a community need without any assistance from Big Brother. But that list of services there, right now it's about 16 different services. As I mentioned, the food and medicine and clothing, transportation and job assistance, etc. There's a package of 16 separate services, and you don't need a computer to access them. And by the way, that list of services is free. There is no charge whatsoever for that service. Now, a lot of people by now are wondering what this great and wonderful device and system is going to cost them. It isn't $300 an hour, as Lexis and Westlaw charge. It's actually $100 a year. That is for all services. The total subscription is $100 a year. And that provides you with 2 hours a day of access. There is virtually no limit to how much time that you can spend on the system. There is no limit to the amount of files that you can download that are not proprietary. We're going to have a lot of shareware or freeware software available, word processors, spreadsheets, utilities, games, and things of that nature that you can download off the system for nothing. There is no limit to the amount that you can download, only the size of your hard drive. Your storage devices, or how many floppy disks you can buy, limits you as to how much you can have. The cost of an affiliate system, the originally was about $90,000 4 years ago. Now we've gotten the cost of a complete affiliate computer system down to less than $20,000. However, recognizing the fact that most of the patriots have paid just something less than the ultimate price, and they're virtually broke, and by virtue of being jailed several times and standing for the faith, they've suffered a great deal in terms of economics. So we've essentially created a package in which we buy the systems for the affiliate, and then the affiliate buys those back from us, interest-free, at a figure of $500 a month. And we show the system through a marketing and sales program that we've developed. We teach the affiliate how to generate and create his cash flow. For example, in our area here, we've got about 400,000 people in our within a 20-mile radius of where our system is located. We expect, based on our experience with other such systems, we fully expect to recruit simply by placing notices on other bulletin boards and databases in our area code. We fully expect to recruit 400 subscribers at $100 a year in the first 90 days of a system's existence. Now, with a $40,000 gross income in the first quarter of a system's operation, it doesn't take, it's not a severe strain on their budget to pay a $500 rental or lease fee. It's interest-free, there are no extra charges, and the system hardware and software is not marked up at retail levels. It's only marked up enough to cover our costs, because our goal is not to own the system nationally. Our goal is to decentralize it so that the systems are owned by individual entities, persons, advocate, common law advocate groups, patriot groups, etc., across the country. We're not interested in owning 130 computer systems across the country. Doesn't serve our interest or anyone else's. Guys, if you took us out and we owned all 130 systems, you'd take the system offline. But if all 130 systems are owned by separate individuals, it's going to be a little bit tougher to do. Beginning in January 4th of the next year, that's about 2.5-3 weeks away, we're going to begin a series of presentations in California at various groups. The presentations themselves are being sponsored by essentially movers and shakers, guys that have proven themselves in combat, guys that have proven themselves in terms of their ability to marshal resources and people and get them together. And we're going to start making presentations of the system package, and we're going to try to recruit 260 people who will buy a 5-year subscription, normally costing $500, for $250. With 260 people purchasing a $250 discount subscription, we will have the $65,000 we need to begin putting systems online. The first three in California, the fourth system will go online in Arizona. We have commitments already for 21 area codes. And when I say commitments, that means that we have already identified and established a working relationship with individuals who are leaders of constituencies. Sometimes they're heads of church groups, sometimes they're heads of common law groups, sometimes they are Christians who have specifically set out to establish some form of ministry with computers. And what we've told these people is that you cannot operate out of a 501c3 because of its vulnerability to government control and attack. You must have an arm's length entity, profit-based, separate from the 501c3. Those of you who have investigated the 501c3 know how vulnerable it is to shut down if the government so chooses to do so. It's a little more difficult if you have a private business going at the same time. The reason why we decentralized everything by area code, the reason why we sell off the systems to our area code affiliates, is because we wanted to A, decentralize the service, and B, we wanted to fund those people who need the funding. Our cash flow with a simple maintenance fee, because all DCS charges for its services, maintenance fees, its file maintenance services, and everything else, is $1 per month per subscriber. The affiliate keeps all the rest of the money. That amounts to roughly $7.50 a year per subscriber. The affiliate keeps $92.50 out of every $100 subscriber. We've done many, many cash flow estimates, many, many projections, incorporated many research surveys, including some by Bonner Research and others, and we've determined that your potential market base in an area code is about 18,400 subscribers. All we're looking for in the first year is a 2.5 to 3% market capture. We believe that this number is a very conservative figure, than that your actual capture in the area code will be closer to 6%. That's really about all I have to tell you right now. We believe that the system, once in place, will provide the means whereby the Patriot community and the Christian community can at last communicate and provide a unified means of networking. When we put the networks online, for example, in the law section, we're going to have not only hundreds and hundreds of Supreme Court and local court cases available for search and retrieve, we can also create a network that does nothing but discuss court cases and their meaning. We can create a network for just writ writers. We can create a network just for consultants. And all these networks can exist in a variety of modes that have varying levels of security and varying levels of exposure. For example, one type of network is an open network, and that's basically a free-for-all because everybody can put information in there and take information out. There is a limited network in which everyone can monitor what's going on in the network and read the files and the information there, but only a limited number of people can actually add or take out the files on the network. And then there is a closed network which is limited to only a predefined group of people who can put files on the system and take them off. And each network has a network coordinator who's responsible to see that the rules of the network are obeyed. We believe that by providing those kinds of services, all these people across the country right now who are dying on the vine for information, for a writ, for an affidavit, for an example of some kind of brief that they can file in their own area, all these people across the country are going to have access to all this stuff. Not at $300 an hour, as I said, Lexis and Westlaw charges. And believe me, I've been a subscriber to Westlaw for 3 months, and I know what their charges are. It can break even the best of people. But we're not charging that. It's all these services for $100 a year. I have worked on the system for 5-6 years, and we've concluded that at $100 a year per subscriber, that all 130 area code affiliates will be financially successful and become a power and force to reckon with in their area codes. And by the grace of God and by the leadership of His Spirit, we will pull the project off, and it will begin in January. Now I want to say something. There's a lot of people outside California that would like to subscribe to this system and take part in this 5-year program. If you wish to subscribe to the system from outside California, all right, and participate in this 5-year discount subscription drive, you can send us a check for $250, and you will receive a 5-year free subscription that begins from the date an area code affiliate is established in your area code so that you have local call access. You may access the system for any amount of time, for as long as it takes, in California, but then you've got long-distance charges to deal with. But there will be no charge for your accessing the system in California. And if anyone, when we get down the road a ways here and we start traveling across the country and meeting people and setting up presentations to help area code affiliates sponsor the purchase of a system in their area code, when we start making those presentations, we will make the same offer again, and we will assist and train all area code affiliates that we identify and recruit in the marketing and sales tools package that we have, and we'll help them raise the money in their area codes. And within, by God's grace, within 18 months, we'll have 130 systems across the country. Now, of course, some area codes, I should add as a footnote, some area codes will have 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 computer systems or affiliates in an area code simply because of the enormous population density in areas like Chicago, Los Angeles, New York, Miami, and San Francisco and like Seattle, places of that nature. In those area codes, we'll more than likely have 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 systems and not just one. The object is to spread the systems across the country in such density that everyone can access the system with a local call. And if you have any questions that you want to ask, if you want to participate in the 5-year subscription program, all you have to do is send a check for or cash to in the amount of $250 to me, John Saunders, Post Office Box 788, Rosamond, R-O-S-A-M-O-N-D, California. And if you wish, you can use the zip code. It's 93560. And anyone who has an interest in becoming an affiliate of DCS and perhaps sponsoring a system in their area code can coordinate everything that they wish to do in their area code through DARE. I only want to add just one thing, and this is more or less my disclaimer. I am not affiliated with any one single group. We provide the service and the tools for the whole movement to participate in, because we can customize.